That's classified.
It's what?
It's classified.
It had been deemed classified.
And B, that footage is highly classified.
Classified?
It's classified.
You can't tell anybody, but...
People need to know.
Welcome to CIO Classified, where you'll find candid conversations with the world's leading CIOs. In each episode, we have two different CIOs discuss a single topic. This week, we were joined by Darren Person and Max Chan. Darren is the global CIO at NPD Group and is a Silicon Valley technology executive with more than 20 years of experience. Before NPD, he was with Relix Group, CBS television stations, and held leadership roles with Lifetime Entertainment, Adecco, and USA Networks. Max is the CIO for Avnet and is a multi-award-winning global chief information officer. Before Avnet, Max held several IT leadership roles, including at VF Corporation and Johnson Controls, and has overseen teams with thousands of members. In this episode, Darren and Max discuss how CIOs can get the most out of AI and reveal their secrets to leveraging AI at their organizations. But before we get into it, here's a brief word from today's sponsor.
This podcast is brought to you by Asana. Asana is a leading work management platform that empowers teams to orchestrate their work, from daily tasks to big strategic initiatives, all in one place. By enabling the world's teams to work together effortlessly, Asana helps organizations of all sizes and industries achieve their goals faster. Learn more at asana.com. That's Asana.com.
And now, here's your host, Ian Faison.
Welcome to CIO Classified. I'm Ian Faison, CEO of Caspian Studios, and today I'm joined by two special guests. First, Darren, how are you?
Doing great, Ian. Thanks so much.
Yeah, excited to have you on the show. And Max, how are you?
Very good. Excited with the conversation and be joined by esteemed colleague Darren here.
Fantastic. All right. Well, today we're going to be talking about AI, the current state of AI, what CIOs are doing, how you should be investing in it, how you should be talking to your board, all that fun stuff. And it's something we haven't talked a bunch about on CIO Classified. So excited to get into it. But first, Max, starting with you, can you tell us a little bit about the scope of your role at Avnet?
Global CIO, responsible for 19 billion of the business that we are in and responsible for everything IT, digital, as well as cybersecurity. Have about 500 internal IT resources or professionals in my organizations, supporting 15,000 employees.
And Darren, what about you?
Yeah, so Darren Person, I'm the global CIO for the NPD Group. A big organization we have. I'm actually responsible for both what we call our operations side of the business. This is where we manage a lot of our data coming in from different partners, as well as then the technology side of the business. So everything from the back office, ERP systems, straight through to the tools and systems that deliver our data to our clients. Roughly about 600-700 people in the organization globally.
Fantastic. All right, let's talk AI here. Obviously, AI, it's a buzzword. It's also not a buzzword. It's very real. And I'm curious, you know, let's start with Max here. How are you thinking about AI? What is the current state of AI?
Many people start talking about AI when they think about predictive analytics, machine learning, etc. But today, it can really mean a whole lot of different things to many different organizations. I'm speaking on AI in terms of a practitioner and from the viewpoint of a CIO and how we are implementing and leveraging AI. And what we are doing today is definitely thanks to the capabilities that we have built over the years, the algorithms, as well as the data that we have been able to curate to drive many different things. I'm sure today, through the conversations, we'll be able to talk through some of the use cases and pitfall that we have gone through. But I'm very excited with the fact that today we are able to look at leveraging AI and machine learning for augmented processes or even machine-to-machine collaborations internally and externally with our various stakeholders and partners.
And Darren, what about you?
Yeah, I think Max said it, really well. And maybe just, building on that a little bit is, Yeah, I think when people think of AI, it gets a little bit clouded in like the movies that you've seen, like iRobot, right? Some of the capabilities, you know, get a bit clouded on understanding like what the real application is of this kind of a technology, and then how to use it efficiently, and then how you actually apply it and where you apply it. So, you know, at a high level, you know, it's everything Max talked about, building on machine learning. It's the next evolution of that. Some of the pitfalls that we typically walk into is this expectation that it's the be-all, end-all answer for, you know, automation. A lot of people have a lot of anxiety around AI and replacing jobs. You know, the way I like to think about, you know, machine learning and AI is really about, you know, where Max said earlier, human augmentation, right? It's about giving people superpowers so that they can do what they do today, but do it 10, 20 times better and faster than they did it before, and really helping their own businesses scale out into the leveraging that capability. So that's some of the exciting stuff I think we'll talk about in a little bit, but super excited about this topic.
Yeah. So to continue that, going into 2022, what was your strategy? What was your process? How did you think about leveraging your team and thinking about, you know, implementing AI?
Yeah. So I think the way we thought about it, especially, you know, obviously this has been, the last few years have been quite transformative, right? It's actually required us to think quite a bit outside of the proverbial box in coming up with ways to be better, more efficient, and then really leverage technology holistically on how to make and do what we do today, but to do it more efficiently and really help accelerate the business. So we focus that in then on machine learning and AI. Yeah, there's really been a couple of different models that we've applied. So number one is a series. We've deployed a ton of training into the organization, right? Education. What is the technology? How to use it? How to make yourself successful with it? And at the same time, we've also partnered with a series of different companies and partners really to help augment that team for specific projects where we really want to see good, solid traction, you know, moving forward. So if you think about that, we gave everyone or giving everyone a good education in the basics, augmenting them with knowledge and subject matter experts and tying them to specific projects so that we can deliver outcomes for our clients and for our business. That combination has started to serve us really well. We're starting to see an acceleration in our capabilities in that area.
Yeah. What's an example of a project that you're working on or that you're working towards?
Yeah. So a lot of what we do is manage data and harmonizing data as it comes in. So we collect, you know, I like to say the world's point of sale data. And there's a lot of cleansing and cleaning of data that needs to happen as part of that process, as well as then getting additional metadata for what we do so that we can really kind of give better insights to our manufacturing and retail clients. So one big project that we did this year was thinking about how do we apply better machine learning algorithms into the ecosystem to do what's known as data classification. And that's really when we look at an item, think of it like toothpaste or a shoe, right? How do we actually classify that at a volume and a speed, given the amount of data that we produce on a weekly basis? How do we get that better classified where historically it would have to be manual, right? People would manually say, oh, this goes into this category, this item goes into that category. Could we take those as learned lessons, feed that into a machine learning model, and then drive more automation and classification? And that's proven to be quite successful. And then we're continuing to build and iterate on that. Like everything machine learning, it's not 100%, right? There's always some percentage that it can capture. And then we continue to train that and get better and more efficient at it in the business.
Max, what about you? And what are the projects that you're working on?
You know, maybe I'll just go back a couple of years when we started dabbling into AI and machine learning, right? At that point, we're simply looking at how can we leverage the wealth of data that we're sitting on, being a distributor like ourselves, and how we can use that to predict the market in order for us to maximize our gross margin, for example. And over time, looking at how we can expand that to dabble into AI bots, et cetera, allowing us to better serve our customers. Many of this has formed a great learning throughout our journey, where we came to a point that we realized that what we need to do is to move away from science project that allows us to get efficiency in multiple different places and build a platform that allows us to build this in at scale, right? And that is exactly what we are thinking about right now going into 2022-2023 is how can we deploy AI at scale? And some exciting things that we are looking at is human augmentations, where leveraging the foundation that we have built, the data that we have curated, how can that becomes a recommendations engine that allows our associate within AFNET, you know, to better serve our customers, to leverage those capability also for our customers and partners to better interact with AFNET digitally, right? And hence moving more towards more of a win-win environment. So that platform allowing us to deploy at scale is one of the key priorities that we are working on right now. I think the other one is how do we then take that and move it to a machine-to-machine frictionless transactions. And that is really the key of it. Because at the end of the day, right, when you think about digital channel and deploying AI bots and all, those are great, very cute, is there to help. But how can we take the human interaction out so that they can have more meaningful conversation with the customer, with the partner, and the rest of the transactions being done through a machine, frictionless transactions.
Darren, you seem like you're nodding along there.
Yeah, no, I mean, look, I think Max's example is great, right? Because you got to crawl before you can walk, before you can run, right? And I'd say the last, you know, several years, we've seen some demonstrable innovation in this space, both with cloud providers as well as with algorithms, right? The acceleration of even hardware, right? GPU acceleration for machine learning and AI, now that being built into core chips, and then cloud organizations adopting those chips and making them available at scale, plus all the tooling and technology that's been developed, right? The ability to, you know, use the data scientist's role used to be to actually run all the different algorithms through to figure out the best algorithm to pick to solve a specific business problem. Now there are tools out there where, you know, with the scale of a cloud, you can actually run all the algorithms and actually just see which has the best one based on the output of those algorithms. So being less subjective and more, you know, data driven, even in the selection of those algorithms. So, you know, I think a big part of, you know, maybe it's more of this democratization of AI now is really coming about. But again, you kind of have to start with the basics. I think all of us have started in the same way Max has talked about, like small labs, teams, testing things out, trying to understand what problems these things solve. And then you reach that fork in the road where you've got to decide, do I invest in building some of these foundational capabilities, or are there partners and third parties where you can use to accelerate, you know, your journey, because they've already made those kinds of investments. So you just get on the back of those. And I think that's an interesting place. And there's so much investment in this area over the last few years that we're really seeing this truly come to fruition at a speed that's unheard of.
What would you say is like the state of AI within the CIO community for like how much people are, and this is a super broad question, but how much CIOs are kind of like fact or fiction here, like how many are kind of treating this as like, I know I need to make investments in this and I'm dabbling, Max, what you were talking about where you were a couple years ago, versus how many folks are, you know, in the walk phase versus how many are in the run phase? Like, where are people kind of at?
Darren, you want to take this?
Yeah, I give it a shot. I think it's interesting. I would probably say 50-50 at this point. A lot of it really depends on the type of business, you know, that you're in. You know, Max, myself, like we tend to be driven by data. And I know that's kind of a big component for a lot of companies. But, you know, being a data company is one thing. Being a company that has data, right, is slightly different. So part of my job is to operationalize data so that retailers and manufacturers can make better decisions. And those problems typically correlate to having a very large set of data that I can't manually comb through to make sense of it. So we're forced to apply these kinds of capabilities to help us achieve those results. On the other side, there's, I think, a lot of capabilities, like if you're a television company, right? Like there is opportunities to apply machine learning in various aspects of the business to help drive, you know, core metrics or understanding user engagement, audience management. And those things are all supportive, But I think it's a slightly different model when that is your business is driving data and insights and analytics, and you have to really apply those now. So that's pushing us much faster than maybe some of the other parts of the industries where they know they've got to do it. They have lots of potentially really good reasons to apply it, but maybe they don't have that direct correlation to revenue or that direct correlation to cost savings that directly in their face that kind of forces them to drive through. Does that make sense?
No, and you know, many of the CIOs that I interact with have some level of AI. And you know, the interesting thing is that when we talk about AI, we talk about machine learning, we talk about data analytics, they kind of all lump into one big pot, right? And Darren mentioned earlier that there are a lot of partner and technology and tools available out there compared to 5 years ago when we first started this. We have to build a lot of things ourselves, but they are so readily available. You know, that's why CIOs today are leveraging the ecosystem that they have, the partnership that they have, and coming in. You know, it's not hard to go out and hire or rent a data scientist today and starting with that experiment, right? So many CIOs have started that journey. The big challenge for everyone that I see continue to come back to two words, how to do it at scale. And that is going to be the challenge, because it's nice that you are able to create a particular board that addresses a particular need, but how do you do it at scale? How do you leverage across the organizations? I think it's the big challenge and the big hurdles for most people.
Yeah, and maybe building on what Max said there, right, which you know, before the pandemic, I think there was even a large challenge in getting people to adopt cloud capabilities, which have largely matured even over the last decade, right? So if we go with that time scale, you know, the pandemic, if you take a look at what's typically labeled digital transformations, really that's been the adoption of cloud capabilities, whether that's Microsoft's Office 365 or Zoom or any one of the cloud partners like AWS, Microsoft, Google, et cetera. So that transformation or that lack of scale that Max has talked about has largely been impediment, mostly because of, you know, some more legacy ways of thinking and then not really having that burning platform to drive you towards the things that could give you that scale. I think over the last several years, many companies, at least in most that I've spoken to, have really started to pivot and shift. They've got themselves into environments now where scaling is really a flip of a switch. You know, they can scale up to thousands of machines, shut them down. They can do it for short bursts of time and test things out where they couldn't do that before. So I think that's also why you'll see a bit of a J curve on this one, right, over the next few years, is that ability to just test things out and see if they work. And it being a fairly inexpensive operation will now create a lot more achievable outcomes for people, because they'll be able to test it without worrying about making some significant capital investment that if it doesn't work out, they'll have to write off over the long term.
Yeah. And Darren, to that point, right, I think it's almost as important to understand that AI and getting into machine learning, right, is not a one and done project. It's not a waterfall type implementations. It is an iterative testing the model, training the model. And we are just talking about machine learning here, right? The next level of AI evolution is really deep learning. And let's not get into that, because that is another level of discussion altogether. But even from a machine learning standpoint, how you actually continue to iterate and how you can use that to apply to multiple different use cases is so key. And that goes back to another point, training the organizations or getting the right talent or partner in order for us to continue to leverage this has been one of the ingredients to get us where we are.
Yeah, and maybe just one more point building on Max, and thanks for raising it, because I think it's an important one. You know, one of the questions that usually comes about is like, how do you explain AI to your board and your senior management team? And I think one of them is trying to get everyone to realize that AI is not what I call a zero-sum game. I think Max kind of really highlighted this, right? It's a shift of resources. So today, if you have 100 people that do something manually, It's not that it goes to zero, right? You may be able to get that down to half, right? Or in your business, but it's not a zero sum game. You still need subject matter experts. You then need to replace some of the manual people with the data scientists, the training, right? And all of the tools and technologies to then be this iterative process. So I think that's a really important point that I just want to make sure doesn't get lost, because that's got to be the one of the points that as a CIO, you're able to go into and make sure that people understand there's a bit of a trade-off. It's not necessarily, oh, this is just going to take out all my costs, all right, if I apply this, but there's actually some additive costs in there before you really get to driving demonstrable cost savings. So it's not a silver bullet for that.
Yeah, and that's a great segue. In fact, a lot of time when I talk to the leadership team or even the board, right, about AI, I don't call it artificial intelligence. I explain this as augmented intelligence, which works a lot better and very much aligned to what Darren was saying earlier, right? And the example that even having an AI bot, for example, right, that is augmenting how work is done so that they can do it more accurately, do it better, do it faster, and give them more time to focus on more crucial conversations or negotiations, etc., that whatever work they do.
And now let's take a quick break to hear about our presenting sponsor, Asana.
This podcast is brought to you by Asana. Even if your team isn't in the same place, your work can be. You just need Asana. Asana is where teams securely coordinate work so everyone knows who is doing what, by when, and why. To learn why millions of teams worldwide use Asana, visit asana.com. That's A-S-A-N-A.com.
Let's talk boards for a second here. You know, feel like justifying certain types of spend for future projects that might not feel core to the business yet can be challenging. Curious how you think about talking to leadership, talking to boards about investing in AI.
You know, maybe I'll take a stab at this. That's a great question. Having been doing this for a long time, one of the key learnings that I have is that this is not something that you would bring to the board and say, hey, this is how much you need to invest in for us to get the capabilities. Instead, because of the evolutionary approach that we have taken, we were able to take some savings from where we were, invest in data scientists, the data curations, et cetera, and start building algorithm success story from that, and then coming out on the other side showing the result, right? So the incremental approach, and the nice thing with AI is that it does allow us to take that kind of approach to delivering value. So it's not like a big implementations like, let's say, ERP, that I have to go to a board and ask for money. In fact, I go to a board and talk about successes that we have. And when they actually bite and ask the question of, okay, how can we do it faster? That's the time to talk about additional investment and what more they can get. That's my take.
And I'll build on Max. I think that's spot on. You know, we've been trying to pivot, you know, many organizations over the years from this concept of waterfall, where you kind of have to know all the costs up front. You go in and you ask for this big multi-million-dollar investment, and then you start rolling and, you know, it either hits or it misses, right? And I think that creates a lot of anxiety for the boards, especially when it's so much money that you ask for. So, you know, the way we've been driving it, which is similar to what Max has talked about, is, you know, how much and what, first off, what problem are we trying to solve? You know, is there a big enough opportunity there for us to use this technology? And does this even technology apply to the type of problem that we're going to solve? But let's assume that all those worlds come together and align. Then I think the question is, within your existing P&L, how do you run a small pilot, right? Or a POC, a pilot, every company calls them slightly different, where you can actually show some form of demonstrable return on a very small investment. And then you leverage that and you take that to then be able to extrapolate out and de-risk any kind of bigger ask that you have. And you're doing that off the back of a win like Max talked about. And I think that has been a great opportunity for CIOs to pivot a bit from these kind of walking into a board and kind of crossing your fingers that they're going to believe or that they've read a few articles on this, and go to like, hey, actually, this is not only how you apply the technology, but this is how it actually can impact this specific business with this specific outcome. And I just think if we apply more of it, we'll get this bigger of an outcome going forward.
I love that. Yeah, no, I'm glad, Max, that you said you thought it's a good question. I think these are the things that people are talking about behind the scenes. Like, hey, my board says they want to invest in AI. My board says that they don't. A bunch of the vendors are putting AI in, you know, the stuff that they're pitching. Do we need to build it, or is it something that we can just leverage a bunch of our vendors who are there investing in it? It's just, it's all part of the conversation. I think it's an important thing to discuss out in the open.
Yeah, I mean, I couldn't agree more in that, you know, we sit in the board meetings and I mean, there are brilliant people in those meetings. There's lots of buzzwords and they're curious about, you know, what some of these things are. You know, oh, you know, I was just talking to this other board person and they're telling me their company's doing all this amazing stuff, but they start with the technology and not always necessarily the problem or the outcome that they want to achieve. So I think part of our job, especially as CIOs, is to be able to understand what's being said, what the technology is that's being said, and then to bring that back and say and explain how that applies in each and every business case. Because otherwise, it's like when all you have is a hammer, everything looks like a nail, right? And we're applying technology to the wrong problems. And I think that's a big one, because I have seen in my career a number of times where a board member will, you know, talk about some technology, and before you know it, there's five projects going on that no one fully understands why they're going on, trying to apply some technology that doesn't make sense to any of the problems, just so that they can drive that. So I think that's where we get this great opportunity to partner with, you know, our board members and also help educate them on how these technologies either do or don't apply to the specific business cases that we have in our organizations, and then accelerate those, obviously, with their support, if there really is a good application of it.
Yeah, and to build on what Darren just said, right, it's very important to recognize if the board is actually, what the board is asking. If any board member comes to you and say that, hey, are we not implementing AI? Don't fall into that trap of, okay, let's go implement AI. Because at the end of the day, is what problem are you trying to solve? So if you are not doing that, or you're doing that, whatever, wherever you are in your journey, right? Make sure that when you walk into the board meeting, you have a position on what that means and unpack that with the board. Okay, what exactly are you talking about? Because there's no such thing as implementing AI. All right. So back to what problem you're trying to solve, and then be the technology leader, the thought leader that lead that narrative, lead that conversation with the board. Otherwise, take the approach that Darren and I talked about earlier, get some POC, get some wins, and then show them the wins. And then that's where you can actually be the one that is driving that conversation instead of being led by the nose.
You know, we always talk on the show about how the CIOs are ever increasingly responsible for customer experience and employee experience, specifically with tools and technologies. So I'm curious, how do you think about the role of AI as it shapes employee experience and reducing the work about work?
Yeah, I can pick this one up. So one of the areas where we've invested a lot in has been around work, specifically what we call workplace experience. And for all the obvious reasons, I think if you ask any CIO, I'm sure everyone will tell you that they've made these big investments. When we think about that, though, if you think about the future of workplace experience, one of the challenges is that we've brought the volume of data up a notch, right? Now we've got recordings that now have, which great capabilities, right? Now you can get a transcription of the recording that you just had, but now you're doing this across the whole ecosystem in the company. We're sharing documents through, you know, whether you use WebEx or Teams, right? All these mini communication channels. So you've got, you know, intermessages that are now part of your data ecosystem, document sharing, which is now one-to-one or one-to-many. You've got all of these kind of new distribution points of data that are actually quite distributed across this large environment. So thinking about ways, and I know the big players like Google and Microsoft are thinking about this, because the ones who are building these tools are also acknowledging some of the bloat and data distribution challenges. How do you mine that? How do you move back to knowledge management again and build in those tools to help get your users, you know, when I'm looking for a document, how do I find the document that I want? better yet, how do these tools push that document, understanding the context of what I was just doing, and get that document into my hands before I even know to ask for it? So there's a huge amount of investments going on specifically in this area for the larger players. I know specifically that they're driving a ton of innovation in there. And then it's really about, for Maxim, I think our job is figuring out, when is it safe to enable that capability, right? And then when is it, okay, maybe this one needs a little bit more testing before we create even more noise in our already busy ecosystem of email and everything else that's going on. Max, I don't know if that's the experience you've seen, but I certainly have seen it in our world.
No, definitely. And, technology these days are so pervasive that it actually being rolled out and implemented. And especially if you're leveraging a lot of cloud platform applications, these features are being introduced. And all of a sudden, employees find that it's much easier for them to see through their email, the data, documents, etc. So it's definitely here to help reduce work and workload overall. And some of the use cases, like I mentioned earlier, are specifically to enhance the employee working more effectively, more productively. I can only see that improving over time.
And one area, Ian, which I think is exciting, but probably would require an entire separate show, right, is as you think about the tools, those low-code, no-code environments that are now being stood up and being delivered at scale, this ability to democratize development in a company, letting the end users actually build apps and deploy those apps, a large part of that is now even enabling machine learning as a bolt-on into those apps, basic things like sentiment analysis, or even, as Max had mentioned, recommendation capabilities. Now, if you start to think about that at volume and scale, like in the job of the CIO, it could either be considered a challenge to manage and govern in the company, or you could look at it as an accelerator as well. But again, bringing those AI and machine learning capabilities now into this democratization of technology in a company, it creates another opportunity where if it's harnessed well, will work amazing. But if it goes off track, it could be a catastrophe at the same time.
And that is also the reason why we moved to a platform approach from the lab experiment approach that we used to have, right? So that we can actually federate the capabilities out to employees, to people who are savvy in technology, in the business, who know exactly what will help their interaction with their customer, their day-to-day operations, etc. This has proven to be very successful for us over the years.
Okay, we're almost out of time here. So before we get out of here, I want to know, first, we're going to talk secrets, but after that, we're going to open it up questions for each other. So what is one secret that you know that other CIOs should know?
I don't think it's a secret, but I think it serves as a good reminder for everyone. You cannot do AI or machine learning without good data. Don't ever think that AI is this black box that magically is going to solve all your problems. You have to go through the hard work, the iteration, training of the models, the algorithms, after testing the algorithm as the algorithm. So don't forget the importance that data is for this journey, because without which there's really no way to be successful and do it at scale for your organization.
Darren, what about you?
I think it's just the realization that data tells a story, right? And it's our job to figure out what story that data tells, and then how to make sure that we are telling the right story with it. Like anything in statistics, you can use it in a variety of different ways. And to Max's point, it is about the quality of the data that really drives that story. So again, all these tools will help you get there, but at the end of the day, you still need to make sure that the story that you tell is accurate and to the point, and that it's understandable within the data as well. I think that's going to be a key driver, a key secret for them to stay focused on.
All right. Questions for each other before we get out of here.
Darren, go ahead.
So Max, look, we've talked a lot about, machine learning and AI and a lot of those. I'm curious, on your side, is there What are some of the, as you look at, you know, 22 and quickly coming up with 23, what do you see as some of your big challenges going forward this year?
You mean apart from the supply chain challenge?
Maybe that's it too, right? Like, how do we get around that problem?
Yeah, that is a different problem to address completely. I think, you know, the big challenge is really there's so much to do. And Darren, earlier you talked about how the pandemic and the last 26 months have accelerated the need for technology, for digital capabilities, for AI ML, right?
Yeah, you know, it's funny, right? We've talked a lot about this, and, you know, maybe just similar but slightly different is just, I call it focus, right? To your point, I feel like I'm at a Thanksgiving table and there's so many options and I don't know where to start sometimes, but we know every one of those things is going to be delicious. And I feel like that's kind of it. And it's how do you drive the focus in the business in partnership with your business to make sure that you're picking out the things that will have the best return or the best value to the clients, that, you know, again, create those magic moments for our clients, our customers, and our internal users. And how do you prioritize those in a way that helps make you successful in helping make them successful? And I think that's going to be a big thing as we go throughout this year and then into next year, is really how do we stay focused?
Gents, it's been awesome having you on the show. Really appreciate it. Lots of CIO classified talk. Any final thoughts before we get out of here?
Yeah, thank you so much, Ian, for the time and bringing us on. And, you know, it's great to meet Max and you as well. So just want to thank you and the team for putting this on. Look forward to chatting again soon.
Yeah, thanks so much. And we'll talk soon.
Thank you for listening to CIO Classified. This episode was brought to you by Asana. From everyday tasks to big picture goals, Asana securely organizes work so teams know what to do, why it matters, and how to get it done. Plus, with more than 100 integrations, Asana brings together everything your team needs to communicate, collaborate, and coordinate work in one place. Visit asana.com to try for free. That's ASANA.com.